We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Who is this guy on the microphone?
Uh-oh, it's been a while. Ooh, yeah. welcome to AirPods and AirBalls, everybody. The full squad back together. Podcast where we do half-baked takes on basketball, uninformed opinions on pop culture, and sometimes talk about nothing. As always, Joe Crawley, at Selena Gomez on Instagram. beside me, we've got Dominic Jaranilla.
Yes, sir.
Dom, tell me your favorite type of headwear.
Well, right now I'm wearing a beanie, like the fisherman's beanie, but I mean, I don't know. It depends on the state of my hair. Like right now, I haven't gotten a haircut since before my wedding or our wedding. So right now I'm like into the beanies just because it hides the hair better. But if I have like a fresh cut, I like the backwards dad hat look because it kind of shows off the fade.
It lets the fade peek out like in the right moment.
Yeah, it's like gives enough, you know, enough of the show. So I think, you know, a combination of those two is my answer.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm like in between, I like a good fitted, especially because if you curve the brim right and you wear it and like you're having a good hair day, like you can peek the hair out a little bit. You can get a little curl there and you get a little style. Beanies are just classic. And I think with this weather, it's just
necessary.
It's beanie season. Yes. Brad, before I introduce you, Brad, although everyone knows who you are, do you have your hat?
I don't even know how to describe it. I've been into the Melin hat. Melin. You know, the ones that are like waterproof. Melin. Future sponsor of the pod.
You're always introducing new products.
Yeah, I know. I'm literally holy crap. This hat's $80?
Yeah. Look, man. You'll never forget your first Melin, whatever.
Oh, yeah, melon.
It's perforated.
I've heard of these.
Yeah, like this white water collection. I didn't know they had right now. Like I'm probably gonna buy one. You know what I mean?
So, are we done with aloe?
Yeah, Well, I didn't want to say aloe because that's too cliche. But like, I'm rocking the aloe hat probably like 90% of the time.
I was 100% expecting you to say an aloe hat, like a aloe or lululemon, like those type of like workout, like very thin.
So it's right now my hat rotation is between the aloe hat and the Viori hat. So
Viori,
Viori.
Anyway, it's our clay day. It's Brad day. We got Bradley Chi back on the pod. Brad,
I'm back.
Do you have a favorite type or style of writing utensil?
Apple pencil.
Oh my god!
he goes with an $80 hat to like a $300 Apple accessory.
Look, man, I'm in school, so I don't know. I've been taking notes on my iPad, and it's been game changing. So, it's gotta be the Apple pencil. If you want like the traditional version, one of those like quickie pens, the ones they like, you know, blue ink. Yeah.
The Bic or not the Bic, but
no,
the
Pilot.
The Pilot gel. Yeah.
Yep. Do a little of this guy, flip it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you prefer blue, black, red, purple,
blue,
green?
Got a blue.
I feel blue is like the swaggy color.
Yeah.
I've got poor handwriting, so I never graduated from black.
I do too.
Yeah.
The blue Pilot pen was a staple in my LMU rotation. So
I remember in my sophomore year of high school, I was so bored in my history class. I learned how to spin pencils on my finger.
Yeah.
and pilots are great spinners.
They're
great spinning pencils. They got a good amount of weight. They like wrap around your thumb really nice. They got the little like the little clip, the pocket protector clip. It's a good latching on point. Solid fidgety thing. Cool. What are we talking about today?
Got some hot takes.
Well, we just the original plan was to have a nice hot take session, but I think we were going to talk about the Warriors game, but since you know since the game transpired the way it did, we might axe that. unless you guys want to quickly check in about what just happened today.
I think objectively it's just been a down bad experience watching them. That's it.
No, I think I don't want to talk about this too much, but basically
correct.
I think the Warriors show flashes of being a great team. They can't put together consistently and they can't do it on the road. They have no bench and the front office is a mess right now. So it's not our year and it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Like the Warriors can play well when they want to, but they just haven't, they don't do it consistently enough.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, we won't bore the followers.
Can I say something?
You can say something.
I don't, it's crazy that they have like, they've had two stretches of eight game losing streaks on the road in one season. Like this year, I just find it like kind of crazy that they just haven't been able to do it this late into the year, you know, like it's just as defending champions or whatever, just having that stink all year is crazy to me.
I mean, half the team from last year is gone, but like,
half the team from last year,
like we got Ty Jerome and Jamichael Green and Dante DiVincenzo. I think the Warriors are immensely tough team. They like check in and check out, and they they are used to doing that. It worked last year. And when it's time to check in, they just don't always do it. And also I think there's just like a weird thing with Jordan Poole and Steph Curry, but that's that could be a whole other podcast. This is making me sad. This is like a joyous episode. Brad's back. Like
All right.
Yeah.
Move on.
Let's talk hot takes.
Takes, yes. I think this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be a lot of fun. I might get canceled.
Ooh.
Some of these. But yeah, we'll see. I wanna see what you.
Is this your B reel, Brad?
Oh, I could do my B reel, but you know what? I'm gonna take a photo first though. Wait, smile. All right. Yeah, sorry. Let's do hot takes.
So, like, just to intro the segment, I think we all prepped some hot takes. These could be about anything. And yeah, I think, you know, we're guys with bold opinions. Mm-hmm. We have lots of thoughts. Brad and Dom are very vocal about their thoughts on Twitter, right? I'm more vocal about my thoughts on like iMessage. But I think it's we're doing a disservice to the world by not sharing some of these. So
yeah.
Who wants to kick it off?
I'll go.
Go for it, Brad.
I'm feeling bold tonight. And one of my hot takes that I've been sitting on for a while, and this was in my rotation for a little bit, was so I'll set the table in terms of like when I come home after like a long night of just like being out, or I'm feeling down and I want to be uplifted, I turn to one of my favorite, all-time favorite great films, Shrek, the Shrek franchise. Okay. Hot take is that Shrek 2 is better than Shrek 1.
Is that hot?
That, I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's like universally agreed upon.
Is it really? I did not know that.
Shrek 2 is like a masterpiece.
Shrek 2 is a masterpiece. I mean,
I think Shrek 2 has a higher like Rotten Tomato score than Shrek 1.
Interesting. Let's go to the tape.
I think shout out Vito. I think Vito said it was like his top three favorite movie.
Yeah. Vito Banez, listen to the pod, say it's one of his top three favorite movies of all time.
Okay. 89% for Shrek 1. Or sorry, Shrek 2. 88% on Shrek 1. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, that wasn't that hot.
Yeah.
Let's get hotter.
It's okay. We gotta warm up the pot.
I have one related to movies as well.
Okay.
Might be hotter. We'll see. Hopefully this doesn't cancel me. But
go for it.
I enjoyed Ant-Man Quantumania more.
Oh yeah.
Black Panther Wakanda Forever. And just to kind of, I guess, to tee that up a little more, Ant-Man got like a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes versus like 84% for Wakanda Forever. And I think it's just like Wakanda Forever is just more universally loved and critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's a little too long, a little boring in the middle, and kind of a drag. Like, obviously they had the Chadwick Boseman tributes to kind of, sorry if I'm spoiling the movie for anybody. Joe, did you watch it?
No, but I'm not gonna watch it, so keep going.
Well, I don't think I'm spoiling like the plot at all, but yeah, it's just like if you're gonna rewatch like a movie, you know, sometimes you just have like MCU movies in the background. Like, I'd rather watch Ant-Man than this Black Panther movie. Like, I actually fell asleep in the theater.
Do you think it was more entertaining, or do you think it was just like objectively better? Because I
think it's just more entertaining, more fun.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I thought Black Panther was good, but it was slow.
It's slow.
Whereas like Ant-Man, it was like, actually, so I had lower expectations going into Ant-Man. Saw both in theaters, and I found myself being pleasantly surprised with how like entertaining Ant-Man was. I think Ant-Man as a franchise was like pretty mediocre, and like as a superhero, he's also pretty mid. But like in terms of like Quantumania, I thought it elevated the game for sure.
Yeah. Did your lower expectations, was that from seeing the reviews beforehand? Or
I didn't look at direct reviews. I saw like Twitter rumblings that were kind of like, oh, like it was whatever. But I don't really let reviews influence my decisions usually. I'm pretty like good at going in with an open mind.
Got it. But yeah, that was one. People said that was hot, but I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm disappointed in both of you.
All right, well, Joe, take in terms like, of, get, like, let's we get hot, Joe.
We were talking hot takes here. You know, first off, we got Brad sharing a almost universally known fact. And Dom's like, I think one Marvel movie was better than the other Marvel movie.
Okay. You're just not a Marvel guy, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you haven't even seen them, okay?
So. No. All right. I'll kick it off.
Get spicy.
I'm gonna go back to the roots of the pod, talk basketball. Okay. I think Dom might see this one coming, but there is a player in the NBA who is like widely loved and appreciated, who I think is like widely overrated, and I think his basketball talent is number one and his PR team is number two when it comes to like what this person brings to like the world. So my hot take is I don't only think that Damian Lillard shouldn't have been in the NBA 75. I don't think Damian Lillard would make the NBA 100.
I actually agree with this hot take.
I think if you look at any Damian Lillard highlight, it is either he's doing it against a bad team, like dropping 70 against the Rockets, or he's getting lucky on a bad shot. Like that Paul George fadeaway, like bye-bye. He took a step. He dribbled the ball like for 5 seconds and took a 40-foot step back.
Yeah.
That this man has never been a top five player in any season he's been a part of. In MVP voting, I think he finished in the top five once. I would even argue and say, like, I think for a majority of his career, he's never been a top five point guard, let alone a top five player in the league. So if there's been 75 NBA seasons, I find it really hard to believe that he's like one of the top 75 people. The only reason he made it is because because Kyrie is a flat earthing anti-vaccine anti-Semite.
Wow. Yes.
I don't disagree with you, actually. I've never been a Dame guy. I feel like he's always been overrated. And again, personality-wise, he's kind of annoying. Like,
and it's funny, Brad, like you and I are both from the Bay. And like, you know, yeah, like the like Bay loves to push yeah. Dame. And
like
Dame.
You would think it would be like, oh, like, but I think even the Bay is kind of like, eh, like, you know.
They put a billboard up in Oakland of like 0-71 for like Damian Lillard. And it's just Adidas basketball. What are you doing? Promote somebody else.
Yeah.
I would rather have like of the people that didn't make the NBA 75. I would rather have Tracy McGrady in there. I'd rather have Dwight Howard in there. I'd rather have Tony Parker in there. I'd rather have Manu Ginobili. Hell, I'd rather have Derrick Rose in there.
Yeah. Klay Thompson.
Yeah. I think Damian Lillard is the generation Steve Francis.
Yeah. Klay didn't make the NBA 75.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a good comp, actually, Ouch. Joe. Steve Francis.
I think Damian Lillard would lose in a game of 1-on-1. Let me say something hotter. I think if you put Gilbert Arenas in Damian Lillard's spot, the Blazers don't get any better or worse.
Gilbert Arenas. Joe, your thoughts. Or Dom,
that's,
your thoughts.
That's it's definitely hotter than both of ours for sure. I think Dame is better than all those players that you said would you'd rather have in the top 75. Like that was
Dwight Howard.
That game winner against PG. I think we saw that like live when we were recording an episode. Like that was crazy.
Yeah. 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 And you fantasize about the game winner because it's about against Paul George and Paul George fucked over the Lakers. That's
Dom hates Paul George. you don't tweet about him that much anymore, though.
He's irrelevant. He has an annoying podcast now. But I mean, Dame is very annoying. Like as a Laker fan, he always kills us for some reason, and he definitely plays the victim a lot, like all the time, complaining about not getting recognition, not getting like All-Star votes or appearances and whatnot. But that's all self-inflicted because he chooses to stay in this like loser situation. So yeah, I agree. He's very annoying, but I don't know. His basketball talent is very like, it speaks for itself. So
is he even that talented agree. Though?
What?
Is he even that talented?
Yes.
I think if John Wall never got injured, he would be a better player than Damian Lillard.
I agree. He's like fine. Like he's like if Monte Ellis like could shoot better, that's like what Dame Lillard is to me.
Yeah.
I think this is like the wilder comp. I don't think Dame Lillard is that much better than Cedric Paul. Like
yeah.
I don't know. Like I think like Steph is like a once in a generation player. I think KD, Giannis, all like, you know, Luka, like all once in a generation players. I think we will see another Damian Lillard by the time we all turn 40.
Yeah, his name is Jalen Brunson. he's on TV right now.
I love this, Brad. It's so good to have you back. We're just driving the bus back and forth over.
I'm not gonna defend Dame too much because he pisses me off watching him play, and I hate like the one of the most annoying like draw fouls, foul baiting, players out there today. So.
But he's won, what, maybe one playoff series in his career? He's lost, like, 9 consecutive playoff games?
Yeah, he had that one game winner against Houston. And then...
That's it. Then he lost the next 9.
They had, like, a fluky run to the Western Conference Finals because a lot of people, a lot of teams were injured. And so they, you know, they made it to play you guys and just got ran train on. So, you know,
I mean, you know, like, so basically, like, he has the same accolades as Ja, except Dame Lillard has won a 3-point contest.
And Dame Lillard doesn't, never mind.
all right. I need to cool off.
All right. That was a good one for everyone who is not a basketball fan. Look up some Dame Lillard highlights and report back. Okay, I have one that's relevant to pop culture.
Love it.
I'm ready for this. All right.
So I feel like, so I'm really behind on TV shows, and it's almost comical what shows I choose to watch to catch up. And the re most recent show that I've caught up on is Outer Banks. Do we have any Outer
Yes.
Banks fans here? All
Yes.
right, cool. Thank you, Dom. I knew Dom. See,
Yes.
I just knew Dom would
Me.
grab it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
P4L, am I right?
P4L.
All right. So my hot take. This is going to be very hot, like objectively. My hot take is that Outer Banks season one is better than the OC season one.
Yeah.
That's a hot take.
Outer Banks season one was a masterpiece. It
It's a
was it's
masterpiece.
perfect.
Thank
It's
you.
perfect television. It's
Yes.
everything great about the OC, right?
Yep. With some mystery.
With everything great about National Treasure and the Goonies,
Yes.
and throw a little sprinkle in some Johnny Tsunami in there with
Yes.
the Pogues and the Kooks.
I really need to
Yes.
watch the show, huh?
Yes. Yes. And then you sprinkle in some like secret romance with like Sarah Cameron and JB. You know, it's
Yeah,
just like
it's like Romeo and
it,
Juliet.
and it's the they're the Luke and I'm sorry, they're yeah, so Topper, Sarah, and JB are the Marissa, Ryan, and Luke triangle,
Yes.
right? And
Yeah.
it's giving that energy, but like done in a more fun and like objectively, respectfully steamier way.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
and also like Madeline Klein over Misha Barton, but that's like, you know,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easy. Dude.
acting skills and everything,
Joe.
just significant. Joe,
You
you got
gotta
to
get
watch
on
Outer
this.
Banks. You got
Welcome
to
to
watch
the
Outer Banks.
OBX, bitch.
We're
I haven't seen either show.
Joe, yeah, Joe, you need to watch both. First of all, the
Yes.
fact that you haven't watched the OC season one is a crime. Outer Banks
Maybe.
season one, I can see we're maybe a little bit late, but like you gotta watch at least the OC season one.
That'd be fun if we did like a pod about like breaking down either the OC season one or Outer Banks season one, but.
Calling any of the Outer Banks fans out that listen to us, please let's join on the let's get on a pod. Would love to break it down.
Yeah. Also, Outer Banks has like much more despicable bad guys and villains.
Oh yeah,
Like
easily.
Rafe is
Oh God,
all time
God,
Hall of Fame
easily.
villain.
He is like Dylan Brooks of Outer Banks.
But
He is better than the Dylan Brooks of that.
I think he backs it up more than Dylan Brooks.
That's true. I don't know, man. Dylan Brooks cooked us for like
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks kind of got the last laugh tonight.
Dylan
So,
Brooks
but
decided to make 3-pointers tonight, but anyway,
yeah.
yeah.
All right, well, Joe, since you didn't watch that. Fans, well, you have to let us know, is Outer Banks season one better than OC season one?
I think there's gonna be a lot of good polls to be posted this week for
Yes,
sure.
yes.
Yes, Outer Banks. Wow, sad it's over. I feel like me and Megan have spent maybe like 6 total days watching the 3 seasons of the Outer Banks.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just finished season one last night because I started on Monday of this week and I finished it yesterday. So I'm gonna get to season two probably tonight after the pod. So
Ooh. All
right.
You have a commitment from me. I will watch season one.
Let's go
Yes.
by next week.
By
I
next
almost
pod.
want to like watch it with you. Like watch party. Let's
Could
do
do
it. Do
that. We could do like a live pod watch party.
We could put a link a live stream link up on our Patreon.
Yeah, it's like how Sam and Andy Liu watch the Warriors games and do their YouTube recordings. All right, Dom, kick it over to you.
All right. Okay. This might hurt some people too.
Uh-oh.
This is related to music, art. I'm of the belief that live shows, concerts are sort of a scam and not worth the money. Like big stadium shows, like going to like a BTS, Beyonce, or whatever. Paying $300, $400, $500 for like just to sit in like the top section is just not worth it at all to me. Like I enjoy like a small.
Dom, this is a hot take. You don't have to say say that as a fact. Don't self deprecate yourself as you're sharing this thing. Have confidence here. Say with chest. Yeah. Don't say I think. Say it's a fact.
All right.
Yeah. Use those Twitter fingers.
Well, yeah, it's a scam.
Okay, so let's break this down. As you know, you and I did go to a music show last weekend of your friend, but like all live music shows, only the big stadium ones,
like the stadium ones, like definitely the intimate like setting shows, like what we experience. That's like great, you know, like you're there, you feel like you're part of it.
You're thinking like Taylor Swift, like you said, like live, yeah. Like Drake, like, State Chase Center, like big arena.
Yeah.
Coachella, anything above that.
Yeah. No, I support like Coachella, just that's like you see like tons of artists, right?
Yeah. You're thinking like, yeah, like paying like 800, like
for one show,
Beyonce. Yeah.
Like going like bananas over not getting Beyonce tickets. Shout out our wives.
Yeah. You're trying to get us in the doghouse.
I was in the doghouse last night. Just kidding. Yeah. But anyways, yes, it's not that serious to me.
Yeah, I mean, I never really like pegged you as like a live show guy, but like, yeah, I get it. I don't know. I think yeah, with small venues, right? Because that's where like you know Spotify, iTunes, they pay pennies, right? So it's like you know like this is where they make their money on this and merch. So for small shows, small artists, I agree. But yes, it is just.
Yeah,
It's a cash register, or it's a money machine, and also I think Ticketmaster is a fucking scam.
I would relatively agree. Like for example, I went to So Far Sounds. It was my first So Far Sounds concert in LA. I've been to one in SF, but went to one of those in LA like 2 weeks ago, and that was awesome. Like I didn't know any of the artists, but like the intimate environment is objectively a lot better, especially for certain types of music. The caveat I will say to Dom's take is like, I think there's certain artists that are really fun to see live. Like I think like Beyonce or like Bieber or like Drake, any artists who, or even like maybe Post Malone, like some artists that can just get the crowd hyped.
Yeah.
I feel like is fun to be in an arena. But I mean, yeah.
So you disagree with Dom's point, basically. basically, all the people you said like aren't worth seeing. You agree?
I'm like, that's a caveat. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't pay like loads amount of money to see an artist in an arena. I'd rather save that for like a Warriors playoff game or whatever. But I think like Spotify sessions or like Tiny Desk sessions are better.
Yeah. Yeah, just more often than not on these artists that are big enough to have the stadium shows, like all that stuff gets recorded and will be like released on like Netflix or HBO anyway down the line. So
yeah,
you'll get to actually see everything.
I think
you'll have to wait in traffic to leave the arena to see it.
There's nuance, right? Because like I would say like Silk Sonic in Vegas, for example, right? Like you know, like that Park MGM theater, like one, it's a money grab because they don't have to travel; they can just go to the same theater. But like that theater is like built for like as intimate as a music show as something that size can be, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Forum, Chase Center, Staples, they're not really built for music, right? Like that's just like that's just, you know, that's purely just making money. And I saw Justin Bieber last Justin Bieber tour, and was maybe because I saw it in Sacramento, but I was like wildly unimpressed,
right? Yeah,
I wasn't even 100% sure it was Justin Bieber.
Do you think it matters? Do you think it matters where your seats are? Like if you're like on the floor and you're like maybe 7 or 8 rows back from the artist versus like if you're up in like the rafters, does that make a difference? No, like money aside, like do you think that's worth it or better?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, of course.
It matters.
Yeah.
Like that's
would you rather watch a Warriors game like in the second deck or courtside?
Wait, was the hot take that sitting high up is not worth it, is not
great. Essentially, yeah.
Got it. Okay. That was the clarifying fact.
But like I guess like I think though it's just like, you know, if you're sitting high up, you're just paying to be in the room, right?
Yeah.
If you're sitting close, you know, that like mass of like, oh wow, I'm in this big thing is lost because you're like, there's just like, you're closer to the artist per se. I don't know. I think I generally agree with this take, Dom. I will say though, like when I saw Drake at Staples Center and he brought out Travis Scott and LeBron, I was a Laker fan for 3 minutes. I was LeBron James, King James, the king in LA.
Joe was like the 16-time NBA champion.
Yeah.
Your Los Angeles Lakers. You can tell I've been to a couple Lakers games in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Great games, by the way. Great games.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about teams that aren't mentally tough. But anyway. okay. Takes are getting there, boys. I'm excited. Takes are getting there. I will go with – let me go with the stadium one because we just talked some stadiums. I think this one's pretty controversial. You know, we've all been to sports events and sports games, right? You know, and I think, you know, part of what makes a good home team environment, like, yeah, there's like amenities and arenas, number of toilets you have, shout out to Clippers, right? But like, but you know, I think part of it is like creating atmosphere, and that really relies on like the team. Like part of it's on the team to like, you know, give those chants and responses and music and organ, everything make it happen. Part of it's on like just like the fans and the environment, right? Like, you know, you could have like really just messed up fans like Utah. You could have, you know, priced out fans like the Warriors. You could have like incredibly entitled fans like the Lakers, right? But besides the point. my hot take here is that, you know, there's the classic stadium chants, right? There's like the da-da-da-da-da-da charge, right? Or defense. Yeah. I think the best like crowd chant you can engage in is the wave. I think the wave is like the single greatest thing you can do in a large area.
It's a hot take.
I know people think it's corny. I know it only usually happens, and there's all these like wave haters out there. Tell me a place where you can get like close to 20,000 people together and they're all going to kind of coordinate like something synchronous like that. It is in a world that is so divided, the wave brings unity, right? You can have your Giants fans, your Dodgers fans, right? But then when that wave comes, I don't care if the Giants are down 11-3 in the bottom of the fifth, right? I'm standing up. I'm putting my beer in the air. I'm moving my hands.
So
no stadium chant has like such a cool visual effect as the wave.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough to argue against the visual effect. But yeah, I agree with your communal the communal aspect for sure. Like, even if you don't want to do it, you're basically kind of obligated to stand up and do it because you don't want to be the asshole of like the crowd, and like you want to like keep the wave going, right? That's like part of the shtick is like, how long can you get it to go around, and exactly. How long can you keep it? So yeah, it's yeah, I'm trying to think of other stadium chants / activities. Well,
I think contenders here are defense, timeless, great. Great.
better than your Warriors chant.
Warriors.
I have a take on that. I think it's an overrated chant. But like
we also haven't had the opportunity to say it in a while because we're so bad. Yeah.
I mean, I think Detroit basketball is like the same version of the chant, just better. But I think the wave is timeless. It's communal. It's something we can all partake of. I think if you're too cool to participate in the wave, then I think you need to reevaluate like who you are and your self-worth.
Yeah. So I'm not a wave hater. I think it has caught a lot of slander in the last couple years, especially in baseball. I feel like baseball stadiums, for some reason, the wave gets a lot of hate. Like I think Dodger Stadium is a big wave stadium, if I'm not mistaken. And I think on Twitter, and maybe it's because I'm on Giants Twitter, but they like hate the wave because of they're like look at the Dodger fans again doing that stupid thing, yada yada yada. Can we agree to get rid of it? Yada yada yada. When I was younger, I loved it. Like I remember A's games. A's were a big wave stadium. Giants not so much. I think the Giants are too pretentious. which is another thing. I'm kind of off on the Giants lately, but if you read my Twitter, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't hate the wave. I wouldn't like do my best to start it, but like, yeah, if it comes around, I'll participate. Get my hands in the air.
Yeah, I mean, they do it at Dodger Stadium because those seats are so damn uncomfortable. Everybody wants to stand up. But anyway,
I think the Giants. I think Oracle Park is just physically incapable of doing the wave because of how it's set up.
The brick. Yeah. I mean, best case scenario, people intuitively can understand where the wave is, but yeah, and location is not like a barrier to that. But yeah, realistically, the brick probably throws a wrench in it.
AirPods and Airballs, a pro wave podcast.
Not expecting that at all. A wave.
Yeah. All right. Good. That's a good one, Joe. That's good. Okay, I have a couple. Which way do I want to take this? All right. I'll stay kind of in the realm of hoops. I don't want to bore our followers too much, so I apologize in advance. But I think conversations about all NBA teams and award season talk is arguably the most mind-numbing and like pointless shit ever. Like I don't know how you guys feel about those kind of things. I just don't care. Like I really don't. Like I listen to Bill Simmons, and the minute he starts getting into his like all NBA like talk, and you know, it makes me cringe. It grinds my gears. I hit the 10 seconds so I get past it. I just can't stand any. It's just like dumb. Like it does not matter to me. Like I really don't. NBA media in general, I think, is like so weird. But like any talk about award season is just like, oh man, it kills me. It's like so stupid and pointless, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's hot in like this group of people, right? Yeah. But
yeah,
obviously, like for the casual fans and the media, they love that stuff. Like that's how they consume NBA content. They're not like crazy like us.
I'll say too. Like maybe I'll refine it and say like, in my eyes, the hot take is that it's pointless. Like I think awards in basketball are pointless.
Like regular season awards.
Yeah, in the realm of like, I don't know, in the context of like greatness and whatever. Like I don't care how many all NBA teams Klay Thompson has like been in, or how many MVPs he has. Like he's objectively a better shooting guard than James Harden. Like I don't know. I just think it's like pointless. So that's like not a hot take again amongst us three, but I guess again it depends who you're talking to. Like if you told that to like a Rockets fan, I'm sure they would like lose their mind. But
I agree. I think you're not gonna find any resistance from us. I think there's a lot to do with NBA awards that have to do with keeping media members engaged and giving them some false sense of power in exchange for like not shitting on the league all the time. I think it's crazy how much these awards are tied to like accolades and achievements. I get part of it, right? Because it's a good way to like mark, oh hey, like this person was the best defensive player that year, right? Like the trophies and stuff are getting stupid, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't think we need a Western Conference MVP and an Eastern Conference like we don't need a Larry Bird and a Magic Johnson trophy, right?
That's so annoying.
But yes, I think it's pointless to talk about it. Like even when we talk about midseason, it's just like, why? So much changes.
And then like even if it does change, I just don't care. Like, you know, like it's so dumb.
It's just like it's a function of like just the problem of the regular season too. Like way too long. Nobody really cares during January, February, you know, March, maybe. And then like all of a sudden then you have like this award season where the media does, you know, kind of control like the votes and stuff. Like all NBA is like all media, right? And it's like it's pretty dumb that it's also tied to players' contracts and bonuses and all that stuff. Like it's not even up to the players that like how they perform. It's about how like the media votes if they get like their $1 million, you know, all NBA bonus or whatnot. So it's, yeah, it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. Like obviously you need the media to you know, expose like these stars and players and get them paid, but then also like, you know, they hate like the coverage, like the constant like banter debates and all that, and like their brands. So yeah,
it fucking works, right? I mean, look at us, we're talking about it.
Yeah, like, you know, like the Kyries of the world that like,
yeah,
just like hate everything about like
the media. It gives Damian Lillard a reason to fucking talk.
Yeah, there you go.
That was strong. I'm sorry, Dame.
Joe's still on his Damian Lillard hate.
It's been, I've been on it for a couple of years, but good take.
I feel like we can get spicy. Okay, keep going, Dom.
I think the two that I have left are food related, kind of random. I think Joe might know this. I'm trying to see which one is spicier. Kogi, you know, like the Kogi trucks in LA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's wildly overrated. Like the hype of it back then, like it was like the food truck, you know, in like 2008 or whatever, when that was becoming like the big deal, like falling on my Twitter. Finding out like
Kogi's like the Korean barbecue. Yeah, it's the
Korean burritos. Yeah, Korean barbecue, tacos, burritos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, just, you know, probably like waited, like the first time I had it, waited maybe 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours, like at, you know, in the OC. And it's just like, I'd rather just have Korean barbecue, like just a regular cuisine, you know. It's like, it's just whatever. It's mid. That's all I'm going to say.
I think when it came out, it was like sort of revolutionary, right? Because it came out what, like 2005, 2006?
Yeah.
Was it that? Or was it like closer to 2010?
It was like late 2000s.
But Kogi would like started the fusion craze, right? Like there wasn't really a lot of like fusion food trucks out there. And I think like the spectacle of having bulgogi in a tortilla, like covered up for any lack of like flavor or the meat being dry, which I think the few times I've had Kogi, I think is like what I found. That's Roy Choi, right?
Yes.
Or is that David Chang?
Roy Choi.
Roy Choi has come up with some way better stuff besides Kogi since then.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like warrants it's like high popularity. But yes, I think like in the late 2000s, early 2010s, there was lots of food that was like, the concept was more appealing than the taste. Like when everyone tried to make the cronut.
Yeah. Yeah. I live on Sawtelle. So I feel like didn't they used to have a Kogi truck parked on Sawtelle when we were at LMU? I feel like that was like a big thing. It was like right across from Volcano T, wasn't it?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was a first Friday staple.
Yeah.
I would agree. It's not worth the hype. That's for sure.
I think I'd rather have like Senior Sisig. Does that make me like betray my hometown? I don't know.
betray your hometown to rep your culture, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
I don't think that makes you betray your hometown.
I think I've got a food one teed up. If
I got one too later, I'm ready. Let's hear it.
All right. I want to paint you a picture here, right? Brad, I know in your LA, but in the Bay, it's like just raining nonstop right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's cold, you know, a little rainy. Like, you know, what does rainy weather call for? Soup, right? You're like, oh, I really want to check out this really good soup place, right? You line up, it's busy, you have to put your name on a list. You wait 2-3 hours, you get in, and it was good. Right, but it wasn't like I'd wait 2-3 hours for it. What type of soup are you having?
Ramen.
Exactly. I think ramen is incredibly overhyped. And I'm not talking about any specific ramen place itself. I think just the concept of ramen. I think ramen is an art. It's a masterpiece. It's like conducting an orchestra in the kitchen, right? Like you gotta you do a lot of effort. Like if you make the noodles yourself, you've got to like, you know, like making the broth takes hours. Like tonkatsu is like not like an easy thing to do. There's a whole process, and you know, there's ways to like make it happen and do it and cut corners, right? I think 5% of the world makes ramen incredibly well, or like 5% of the ramen available to us is like well and good. But I think the other 95% is just mid and disappointing and never what you expected, and just ends up being a salty mess or a dry mess or bad noodles or a whole bunch of stuff.
I would, again, I'll flex the sautéel piece of it. Like literally block away from me is probably some of the quote unquote best ramen in the West Side, whatever. And I would agree, none of it is worth the wait that you have to wait to like get into those places. Like Tsujita on the corner, you could not pay me. You could say that my meal would be free and I could order anything off the menu. I would not wait in like the 45 minute line on that street corner. Tatsu, as the three of us know very well, same thing. Like the minute that they started having, you know, ridiculously long wait times, I was like, why would I ever do this? Like, yeah, I'm with you on that, Joe.
I mean, I also think that like when you compare it to other soups, like ramen is not as good as a lot of them. Like I think pho is a better soup.
Agreed.
I think like Taiwanese udon, beef noodle udon. Soup is a better noodle. I think udon. I think soba noodles.
Wonton noodle soup. Yeah.
Wonton. Yep. I think. Hell, I'm white. I would have chicken noodle soup. Okay, that's a stretch. But like,
yeah, all right.
But no. I think. I think there's not a big enough difference when you make ramen out of a packet versus when you go to a really nice ramen spot that justifies the cost, the wait, or the like going to a restaurant that's overly crowded and I've got like three feet of space between me and the table next to me while I'm eating it.
Yeah. Kind of all tastes the same too. Like one good ramen spot to the next was like, they had a little different menu, but nothing like major.
They're like, they're all comparable. You know, they don't like set themselves apart, right? Like
they're like the Dame Lillard of food.
Yeah, everything circles back to Dame Lillard.
yeah,
I was gonna say they're like the Jordan Clarksons or the Jordan Pools. Like you can find like scores everywhere, right? Like these you can find these one dimensional players all over. But
I can't even defend Jordan Poole more.
Yeah. I mean, like, cause you could even say like a pack of ramen is like Austin Reeves, right? Like surprisingly gets the job done.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I'll keep it on the food train, and this could be my last one. And by the way, these were like in no particular order, but I don't know if you guys are big dessert guys. Or you and your wives, lovely wives, go out to get ice cream every now and then and like to taste the different flavors. But my hot take is that salt and straw is the worst, like absolutely the worst. I didn't want to like what chain ice cream shop or like it is arguably the worst ice cream you can get in like from a brick and mortar shop. It is so I just don't understand when I see people standing in line for salt and straw. I'm literally like, what the like bleep are you guys doing? Like, I don't understand. It is not good. It's bad.
Okay, these are the hot takes. These are the hot takes I'm looking for. Because
like, how did this take you this long to fire this off?
Yeah. This is yeah. The hottest thing.
You thought the Shrek 2 one was hotter than this?
Yeah.
Salt and straw is just trash. Like, I'm sorry. It is not good ice cream. It infuriates me to see a salt and straw pop up on every single gentrified corner of, you know, metropolitan cities. It's like the Phil's coffee of ice cream. I'm like, oh my God, get me out of this downtown district now.
Whoa. There's a lot to unpack here. How many times have you had salt and straw?
More than enough to know that is. I've had more than enough salt and straw to know that it's not good. It is not good ice cream.
That you got?
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten like basic flavors, like from like, say, like the traditional, whatever their chocolate would be called, to some of their more exotic flavors. I've tried their special ones. It's just bad. It's like, it's not good. Like, anyone who thinks salt and straw is good ice cream, in my opinion, has not had good ice cream. That's just like I would either rather eat 6 cartons of Cherry Garcia from Ben and Jerry's than like one thing of like vanilla salt and straw.
Okay. I think Cherry Garcia is amazing ice cream, but like
I do too.
But like, okay, so what is good ice cream? Because I like content. Salt and straw is my second favorite ice cream brick and mortar shop. What is good ice cream to you?
I think Ben and Jerry's is like great. If you could go like, and these maybe are in no particular order, but above salt and straw.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what they have in SF these days, but Ben and Jerry's, and I'm going brick and mortar purely. There's Jenny's in LA. They have a Van Leeuwen in LA. They have
Van Leeuwen is not better than salt and straw.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I will die on a sword for this. Yes, it is. I have 3 cartons of Van Leeuwen in my freezer right now, and I have no salt and straw in my freezer.
I just don't get how you can hate salt and straw, but then pay $10 for a carton of Van Leeuwen ice cream. That's just
because Van Leeuwen basic, is good
it's just
ice
basic
cream.
Vanilla. It's fine. It's fine ice cream. There's not a huge difference.
No, there's a big difference. Salt and straw, it's like you know how they have like a salt and straw tent at Coachella? I almost like sold my ticket. I literally like don't want to go to Coachella anymore because of it. Like literally like cancel the festival. Like I don't want any part of this, you know? Like Golden Voice is a shady corporation, but like the fact that they like had salt and straw was like the last straw. No pun intended. Yeah.
Van Leeuwen.
Van Leeuwen, Jenny's. I don't even go to a Dreyer's. Before
they
don't
have a freaking water, but like a Haagen-Dazs.
I love Haagen-Dazs.
No, Haagen-Dazs is great. No Haagen-Dazs slander for me.
No,
they used to have Dreyer's around the bay.
This is a wild take. It's good ice cream.
It's just not good. It's not. It's not.
It's objectively. It's artisanal.
Exactly. I don't want ice cream to be artisanal.
But no, I get it. There's a texture thing there, right? Like it's definitely, I don't know what type of xanthan gum or whatever they're using, but like it's definitely like stringier when you like use a spoon than like other ice cream types. Like the flavors are good. It's creamy. I like the caramel swirl one is like solid. They make really good waffle cones. And they make them in-house. I'll buy you
like a carton of Van Leeuwen and then give you a carton of frozen Eggos, Joe, and give you a significantly better experience than
I've been to Van Leeuwen. I live in New York.
It's great.
Like grocery stores. It's not like you're anyway. Salt and Straw is my second favorite.
What's your first?
Humphrey Slocum.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
But Megan gave you a thumbs down on that one.
Megan, how do you feel about salt and straw?
Okay. I do think it's not the best, but it's not as disgusting as you are making it out to be. That is wild. Like that is a wild take. You said Dreyer's over. I mean, actually, I do get it. Dreyer's is kind of light. And sometimes the thing about salt and straw, it's too creamy and too heavy. Like sometimes you don't want that much. And if the flavors aren't good, then it's like you're stuck to the basic like brownie olive oil and no one really wants an olive oil ice cream. So I get it. But when the flavors are good, like do you remember the strawberry tres leches flavor? That shit was fire. Like you can't argue against that one. Like,
well, so here's the thing. I'll say this. I like that I've struck a nerve, by the way. When Megan hopped on that, she's going to say, it's not as disgusting as you. And then she paused. I was like, ouch. I haven't gone back to salt and straw because I hate it. that much. So I probably missed some windows of flavors.
No, it's an old flavor. It's from when you, I think, lived here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I stopped going when I was in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that Humphrey's Slow Comb is actually really not good. I think that that is not a great ice cream. I think that the Secret Breakfast, like,
so good.
The sundae, like, you know, like when you go there and you actually have the cornflakes on it and stuff, that's good. But when you buy out of a pint, and the one, especially in Oakland, not great. Like, I remember going like at least three times in a row, and every single time the ice cream was like melted and soft and nearly a soft serve.
You're talking about by Drake's?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, the one in the cart.
Yeah, that one is, wow. I'd give that one a 0 out of 10.
I mean, we're talking brick and mortar, so that makes sense. I think, yeah, in a carton, it doesn't hit the same.
Even their brick and mortar was awful. Like, that's what really made me stop going there, was because of that location.
Their Vietnamese iced coffee is incredible.
That's a good flavor. Okay, yeah. Sorry, guys. I just, I heard Brad going in on Salt and Straw, like, that is crazy. I get it. Like, I get maybe 10% of it, but wow. Not the Coachella take.
It's bad. I stand by my hot take. We'll see what the Twitter audience thinks, but you gotta defend how you feel.
I can't believe we've been recording for almost 40 minutes and you let this out now. But
yeah. I don't even have like any strong opinions towards all these different ice cream brands. Like I just ice cream's ice cream to me. Like, I love it all. Like, I'll eat any ice cream growing up, like getting, like the store brand cartons of ice cream. So I appreciate it all because it's all delicious to me.
Okay. All right. We love that for you.
And yeah, I don't know. I can't follow up that take. So I'm going to pass.
I'm out of takes, but like, I was hoping you would go so I could try to draw one more up, but
I mean, I have a small one that I had queued up, but we all love breakfast, right? We all, except for Joe, love eggs.
Yeah. Oh, I do have another take. Okay, go for it. Yeah,
but cheese on my eggs, get that shit out of there! Like, it's disgusting.
Yep,
is the worst.
Yep.
Oh. Cheese does not belong on eggs at all.
No.
Yep. Yep.
No.
Yep. Cheese on eggs is for eggs that are not, like, for people who can't cook well. You know what I mean? Like, a good omelet does not need cheese.
Yes.
Because if you know how to make your eggs kind of soft scrambled, you don't need cheese.
Yeah.
I'm with Dom on this. Yeah.
I think there's a bit of difference between good eggs don't need cheese and cheese on eggs is disgusting. Right?
Yeah. Like, cheese on eggs is disgusting. That's what I stand on.
Why? They're matching flavors. They're matching consistencies. They're from the same animal.
It's just the cheese like overwhelms the flavor. You know?
Like, yeah, it's like too rich. Yeah. It's almost like too. You feel like dehydrated after having like cheese on your eggs.
But like. What do eggs taste like? Just bleh.
Cook them right. A little bit of salt, a little bit of salt, a little bit of ham in there.
Ham.
Okay, ham at this point. you're eating an omelet. But you and I have talked about this, Tom. I think you're wildly wrong. I just there's very few things that cheese doesn't make better. And I just think that, I think, you could call eggs by itself, like, let's say you call eggs by itself, like Steph Curry, right? But like, you know, like cheese is like clay. Like, yeah, like Steph doesn't need clay all the time, but does Steph be a better player? Does he get more effective with clay? Yes.
Wow. I'm dead.
That was a hot take.
Yeah.
Steph hasn't done anything in his career without clay. I'll say that. When Clay was hurt 2 years before your guys' championship last year, what happened? No playoffs. And then the next year, losing the play-in. That's it. That's all. Yeah. Don't hate me. We're all friends.
Yeah. Is that the night? Who was the night that Brad almost wanted to like stop being friends with you?
What did he say? Was it?
It was. Let's not talk because it makes you look bad, Dom. We won't say it. But
was it the Clay Thompson when KD tore his Achilles?
No, it's when Clay got injured and
Paul
Pierce.
Yeah, Paul Pierce.
All right.
We made it through.
We survived. All right, Joe, take us home.
I got a small last one. This one's half baked, but it's also breakfast related. So Dom's.
It's a
warm take. I think people that choose sweet breakfast when you go out should not be trusted with important decisions.
Yes.
like if we're out going to brunch and you're ordering like Nutella pancakes or you're ordering like a waffle with tons of whipped cream, if you're basically ordering a dessert, right? If you're ingesting 50 grams of sugar, right? Like at 10 a.m., and that sugar is not in mimosa form, you don't care about the rest of your day.
Right? Wait, all these takes are better than the first like 45 minutes of this podcast. Yeah.
You might edit the first half.
But yes, I just think that like I just don't get the point of sweet breakfast, right? Like
unless it's like on the go and you're having like yogurt and granola, different, right?
But like that's like if I'm sitting down, right? Like why am I paying $20 to have a nap 5 hours later, right?
Like if we're all at brunch and there's like eggs Benedict and like omelets and you know sausage and bacon galore, and someone's like, I'm gonna go with the French toast. I'll be like, okay, weirdo.
I think like choosing something overly sweet like that says something about you as a person, and it says that like I live for now and I'll worry about later when it happens. I think the same people that order sweet breakfast aren't putting money in their 401ks.
let me defend sweet breakfast for a sec here. What if like I like to have maybe like my eggs and like a bacon and then maybe like a small stack of pancakes or like a side of French toast. Like, is that allowed?
But I think it's more if it's like if you're going all in, like your pancake has whipped cream on it or chocolate or like tons of chocolate. Like if you're eating a dessert.
I'm a if big side powdered, pancake
powdered
guy.
Sugar. Yeah.
I'm a big side pancake guy. I'm also a side waffle guy. I mean, overall, I'm into savory breakfast, but I do come to Dom's point. I like, for example, if you're at like a buffet or even a restaurant in Hawaii. I don't know why Hawaii was the city I chose.
Yeah. I only got to Hawaii here.
I feel like if you order like an omelet and there's like home fries and it comes with like a side of pancakes, I'm not going to say no to the pancakes, you know?
But I think there's a difference between like putting syrup, because that's just like that's normal behavior, right? Like eating a side of whipped cream, right, with chocolate chips and sprinkles and powdered sugar, right? That's like psychopath behavior.
Yeah.
I'm literally dying at a I just have like this image of Joe at brunch like eating his like, you know, omelet and just like side eyeing like whoever got like Nutella pancakes. Just like, I wouldn't do that.
I have the same opinion about like if your morning coffee is like a frappuccino, right? Like you're just looking like you're not using coffee of like the purpose of like, you know, like getting
away.
You're just like you just want a milkshake in the morning. Right,
you're thinking like venti frappuccino, like
extra whip. Yeah, yeah.
I don't even see those anymore.
Yeah, I think the only people that drink those are the same people that are ordering sweet breakfast, and most of them are the age 16 and younger, and that's it should be. Yeah,
and they're probably the same people going to Salt and Straw, but I mean it's neither here nor there. But
Joe, do you count sweet cream cheese on bagels? Do you count that as part of a sweet breakfast?
No, I think a bagel is different. I'm thinking we're at a diner, we're sitting down, I got a plate in front of me, right?
Yeah.
Like I go for like a strawberry cream cheese every now and then. You know, I'm much more of like a scallion cream cheese guy. But But I see the appeal, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good, boys. Good takes. Good final 30 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun.
We finished
strong. Brad, I still think about your baked potato
take. Yeah.
All the time.
You know what's funny?
All the time.
So I got a baked potato at this I went to this random steak restaurant maybe, I don't know, a month and a half ago. And I had a choice of potatoes, and it was either French fries, baked potato, or mashed, or I don't know, home fries. I went with the baked potato, and I was so happy.
That's so inefficient for a restaurant to offer, right? potato, all those other options, you chop it up, you flash fry it, whatever, you're good. Baked potato, they have one on a heating lamp.
This place had a mechanical bowl in the middle of the restaurant, so I don't think efficiency is what they were going for. It was a Saddle Ranch in West Hollywood for anyone who.
Oh, that's Clay's favorite restaurant.
Saddle Ranch.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Clay Thompson's.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Probably
big baked potato guy. Clay Thompson would be a baked potato guy, based on his personality. But
real quick, we've had Brad for the first time back in a while. And in your absence, Megan's been doing the We Are Backs. Dom, do you have an opinion? Who do you think is the better We Are Backer?
Wow, you're gonna put me you're gonna put Brad against my wife. We just got married.
Yeah.
Megan, we see you in the background there.
You're already in doghouse.
Well, I'll break it down. Megan's sometimes breaks, the audio barrier on this microphone, so it doesn't even register on the scale. Brad is just classic, right? Classic.
Yeah.
We Are Back. You created it, right? You're the originator.
Back. I am the originator. So, I'll chime in before Joe gives his take.
I love Brad's. I heard yours from outside, and I was like, oh my god, it's so good to hear the We Are Back from Brad.
It's like you're almost teleported to a Hooping and Scooping episode.
But yeah. I love Megan's energy though, for sure. Just taking it to that next level. Yeah. So
I will say Megan has done a great job. If you can do the We Are Back anytime. Megs, you're welcome to do
it. I thought you guys were going to do it together today.
We could. We should next episode. Also, I'll give a shout out. I thought the Sarah Sanchez episode was phenomenal.
Are you a perfect match guy?
I mean, her energy is great. Sarah, big fan of yours from Twitter and TikTok. Your great personalities. So to have you on the pod was a true, true gift.
I love it.
It's what inspired my comeback.
Real quick on the We Are Backs, what I'll say is I think Brad is timeless, right? Brad's got it down. There's the cadence, the but, right? Always that gets my heart going. It gets me excited. I think Megan is the Ja Morant of We Are Backs. Lots of raw talent and energy. Right. Sometimes or maybe not job, maybe rookie Russell Westbrook, lots of talent, energy, and just pure, unhinged skill.
Unhinged,
but it's just a lot at times. Right. That's why the mic comes out. It's just
yeah.
If we got her in the gym with Lethal Shooter, maybe we're looking at a whole new career here, but
you guys just need better mics. It's not my problem.
Yeah. To your point, Joe, she just needs more stability in the organization around her to hone in those skills.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a really MBA, not NBA, MBA.
I've grown up so much since the last time you saw me. Yeah.
Cool. Well,
this was fun though. We got to talk everything that we love: basketball, Outer Banks,
food.
Joe, you gotta get on
that. Yeah, Joe, by the next time we record, can you at least have watched the first four episodes?
Yeah, I gotta check if this is a show me and Denise are gonna watch together, or if this is something I can just go off the rails with.
Because she's gonna love
you guys. Yeah, you guys can watch together. I'll say too, it's it gets right into the action. So like there, you know, there's no warm up. You don't need to like give it the first two episodes. Like the first episode, you're like, okay, like I can kind of see where this is going. Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
It's great.
Well, anything from anybody before we sign off?
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you. And, you know, P4L. You'll find out later, Joe.
I'm happy we're back in the rhythm. So,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Joe, you can't be part of the P4L unless you watch the first season. So.
I know. I'm getting the FOMO. So. All right, y'all. Until next time. Peace.
Next time.
Later. Peace.